So tonight we continue to talk about love. Somebody say love. And I want us to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Oh, yeah, okay. No problem. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. We started looking at specifically, the writer of Romans says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk in love, but I want it to be done without hypocrisy. And we looked up the word hypocrisy last week. And here's what, let me see if I have. Yeah, hypocrisy means this. To practice, the practice of claiming to have moral standards. Notice what it says, the practice of claiming. Somebody say claiming. It's not really having moral standards. It's claiming to have moral standards. Watch this. Or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. So you're saying that you believe in this. You're saying that this is important. You're saying this is valuable. But then when you see, then somebody watches your action, they don't behave that way. You know, we looked at it Sunday. I like what the Apostle Paul says. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20-21, what I thought it, he said, was to live is Christ, to die is gain. But he doesn't say that. He says in the whole verse says, as for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, I can't speak about other Christians. See, we don't want to raise our hands to say this, but we've all known Christians that have believed one thing and said another thing, or believed one thing and then acted another way. And watch this, to some extent, I'm not trying to get you mad at me, but to some extent, how many know we're all working through that? I know that's true. We're all working through but here's the important thing. It's not that God is looking for perfection, but God is looking for progress. Amen? And to some extent, God is looking for perfection because the Bible says, be perfect. Jesus said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Or be mature as my Father in heaven is mature. So he has a high standard. But what I like to say is this, is what's really important is that you understand that you need to be progressing forward. You know what? If you used to cuss, you know what? I hope you don't cuss anymore. But if you do, you know what? You should be cussing less. Amen? If you, whatever the issue is, if you used to be selfish and you recognize, how many recognize there's something in the Bible, it's called iniquity. And iniquity, we think iniquity and sin is the same thing, but it's not. And iniquity is, the word means something that was passed, something that was passed down to you from your parents, from your grandparents, or from your great-grandparents. And what do you mean? I mean, you ever kind of recognize, you know, a lot of families say this, you know what, I just have a problem with anger. You know what? My grandpa was, you know, just flew off a handle all the time. And my mom used to do that. And I do that too. I'm just like them. Well, to some extent, there's some truth in that sin from your great-grandparents or your parents or your grandparents, that comes to you through the bloodline. It's called an iniquity. And so, you know what? Sometimes you ever thought, man, I didn't even know why I did that. Well, we all can relate to that. But what we want to do is recognize you don't have to, you need to start to stop identifying with your grandpa. Stop identifying with your great-grandpa. Stop identifying with your parents. Don't model your parents in where they did wrong behavior or unchristian behavior. Amen? Paul said this. He said, follow me as I am a follower of Christ. In other words, and some of you had very godly parents. You know what? Do what they did as they were following Christ. But don't do what they did when they didn't follow Christ. Amen? Some of you have parents, and your parents, they're not saved, or grandparents that aren't saved. And they still gossip, and you know what I mean? They're just all over the place. Amen? Well, don't get into a big, you know what, don't just talk about them. I mean, they're your parents. Amen? It is what it is. But recognize, but don't model them. I said, don't model them. Model Jesus Christ. I said, model Jesus Christ. And so there's this reality of you walking through this hypocrisy that we're walking through. And what happens is, watch this, if your behavior starts changing, because you're following Christ and you become a disciple of Christ, you do what he does, guess what happens? Each week, you're going to get less hypocritical. Amen? Each month, each year. And you're going to do what the Bible asks you to do is let love be without hypocrisy. Real, genuine love, that's how it should be. That's why it says, let. Everybody say, let. Everybody say, let. What is let? Let is an indication that it's up to you. Amen? No, it's up to you. Well, I can't. No, 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 no. Why do I know that you can? Give me a verse why I know that you can. What? I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. Give me another Wednesday verse that would indicate that you can do this. Romans 5:5. What's Romans 5:5 say? Come on, somebody. Don't forget, just because it's been. Hope does what? Does hope disappoint? No, it does not disappoint. Somebody say it doesn't disappoint. Why doesn't it disappoint? Because the love of God, God's love, is being poured out, the Holy Spirit. Where is it being poured out into you? To your heart. This is God's love is being poured out into you. Amen? I mean, you might think that your car doesn't go that fast, but if you put some, you know what, if you put if you put some high-octane, crazy, you know what, boom, how many know that car might move a little bit? Amen? Can you say amen? Amen? Well, you got some high octane, you know what? The highest octane love that there ever is is being poured into your heart, listen to me, by the Holy Spirit. That's why the author of Romans can say, hey, let this happen. Why? Because it's possible. Now, how many know if the Bible says let it happen, how many know it's also possible for you not to let it happen? Amen. See, you're a Christian. How many know? No, we're going to look at it in a minute. How many know no evil word out of proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer? How many of the Bible says that? Say, no corrupt word. Put your finger up. Ooh, no, no. No corrupt word. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my uncle, and he comes to Christmas, and oh, my family come to Christmas, and oh man, they don't even sing a Christmas carol. They don't even pray before. You know, they just start going into the, you know what, you know, roast beast, and don't even pay attention. Amen. Man, come on. You didn't catch that? I said roast beast. Just saying. You know what? And they don't even pay attention. They don't even. Hey, I like what I heard one Christian guy on television preacher. He said this. He said sinners know how to sin real good. I think that's a paradox right there. But all I'm saying is, you know what? You're not. Are you saved or are you unsaved? Okay, well, if you're saved, then let love be without hypocrisy. Don't be going over to your family, you know what I mean, and be cursing your family. Bless your family. And say, yeah, they're little rascals, amen. But praise God, there's a room in heaven for them. Amen. There's a Jesus, and he died for them just like they died for me, amen. And I'm going to control my mouth. I'm going to bless my uncle, my crazy uncle that just, you know. And sometimes, listen, I say this on purpose Christmas season, because sometimes, man, these people are hard to just have dinner with. Amen. Until you love them like Jesus loves them. How many know you can see goodness in everyone? How many know some people are harder to find it? Amen. No, come on. How many know this is true? I mean, some people, it's hard to find it. But if you go into it understanding that it's your choice, then at least we know what the problem is. Amen? Because we already know what the problem is as far as they are concerned. I said, we already know what the problem is concerned. They're not trained. They don't care about God. They have no morals. How in the world are you going to have morals without God? I said, how in the world? You know what is the problem with the schools? You know the problem with the school? They kick God out of the schools. Amen. It's no wonder the schools have gone crazy. Why? How in the world can you stand there? You know, there's kids that'll go up and you know what? And punch a teacher. You know, cuss out a teacher. Wow. Oh, they shouldn't do that. Well, why shouldn't they? You teach them that there's really no wrong or right. Teach them that who are you to judge anyone else? You know what? Teach them there is no God. Let me tell you what. There is a God. There is a God. He's real. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you about God. He's a loving God. But listen, if our society, you know, understand that when we die, you're just going to get to, all that's going to happen when you die is whoever you choose, that's who you're going to live with. Amen. Amen. You know what? I didn't marry Tamara. And then, you know, like the week after I married her, I woke up, I'm like, who are you? You know what I mean? No, I chose to marry her. Amen. I wanted to marry her. Amen. If I had to do it all over again, I'd marry her again. Amen. I said amen. Amen. That was my choice. You're going to live with whoever you want to live with. If you don't want to live with God, God says, okay, well, then reject Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's up to you. Amen. But let me tell you what. God is real. And God loved you and me so much, even people who don't love him, God loves. And he says this, you know what? Anyone who wants to come to me, you know what? I'll let him on in. Amen. Why? Because he can let him on in. Why? Because Jesus' blood died for everybody. Amen. Jesus' blood covers all our sin. Amen. Say, yeah, but I don't believe in Jesus. Okay. All right. Well, when you meet God, you're going to meet God someday. Amen. Let me speak to somebody watching us on the internet. You're going to meet God someday. At some point in time, everyone's going to recognize God is real. Amen. But you got to make that decision now. God only wants those, you know what, who want to love him. Amen. And if you say, no, I'm fine without you, God says, okay. But that's your choice. Amen. You know, hell wasn't created for people. You know, hell wasn't created for people. Hell was created for Satan and his demons. But, well, why would man reject? Why would man reject God? Pride. Same thing, that the same reason why Satan reject him. Amen. Well, I don't need God. Okay. Well, I'm going to believe that Darwin, you know what? I'm going to believe Darwin. Somebody listen to me. You want to talk about unscientific? You know what, Darwin? Let's get real here. Let's be honest with people. You know what Darwin saw? Darwin saw a beak. A beak that this bird, you know what, over years developed into a different looking beak. That's all he saw. That's all he proved. And that's all science has ever been able to prove. It's called adaptation. And nobody scientific, no Christian who understands science argues with adaptation. But never, somebody say never. Never, ever, 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 ever have they been able to show that a fish turned into a bird or a dog turned into a cat or a polyfrog, you know what, all of a sudden turned into a, you know what, a gorilla. Listen, you want to talk about craziness? You look up Darwin's tree of evolution. You say, well, if they can't prove that, how come they believe that? Because Satan has deceived them. Let me tell you why Satan deceived them. He deceived them because if you believe in Darwinism, you can get rid of God. Amen. Amen. You know what Darwin, but here, I'm just telling you some facts. Go on the internet, look it up. You know what, they won't tell you this in the public school. But you know Darwin believed that certain races were advanced more than other certain races? Oh, we never heard that in the university. We never heard that at El Rancho. We never heard that at Rio Hondo. No, I know. They leave all kinds of convenient things out about Darwin. Amen? You know what? The lady who started, you know what, abortion clinics in America? Planned Parenthood. You know what she believed? She believed the same thing. That there were certain races that were superior to other races. I mean, no, this is absolutely ungodly. So you want to start talking about what the truth is? Let me tell you the truth. There is a God. And he's real. And he made us. That's the reality. And he made you to love other people, even people that you think in your family that aren't very lovable. Amen. Think about this. How in the world are they supposed to see the love of God if we don't show them the love of God? Amen? You know how many know the Dodgers? They got a hitting coach. Amen. I remember this is a true story. I remember when the Dodgers, they used to swing at everything. You know what I mean? Puig used to swing. Swing at everything. You know what? You think I don't like the Dodgers? I love the Dodgers. Amen. Yeah, that's recorded too. I love the Dodgers. All I'm saying is, you know what? Dodgers are impressive to me. Because their hitting coach, man, he has taught them to be disciplined. You know the Dodgers, they have the thing that shows whether the ball is striking or ball. Some of the Dodgers are better than the umps. The ball will be on the outside corner. It won't be a strike, and they're disciplined not to swing at it. Amen. What I'm saying, how do they get so good? They got a hitting coach that helps them. Every day, no, watch it, tells them, get your shoulder up, get your come in front of all this stuff. I don't know, you know what I mean? I'm a legend in my own mind, amen? I don't know all that stuff. But all I'm saying is, you know what? God wants to coach us to love other. How in the world Dodgers supposed to have can you imagine, the Dodgers pitching coach becomes the hitting coach and the hitting coach becomes the pitching coach? They can't do that. Why? Because the pitching coach don't really know anything about hitting. Amen. Is that not right? When I was in junior high, I told you this story. I love this story. You know what? When I was in junior high, I played the drums. You know what I mean? In the band. Played the drums. You know what I mean? And that was fun. I enjoyed that. But what was really fun? I used to always look at the trombone players. I like the trombone because I like the slide. You know what I mean? Mr. Arnaldi, he was our instructor, and sometimes Mr. Arnaldi, it would be sick. And so somebody would walk in, and they kind of say, oh, Mr. Arnaldi's not here? And they'd turn around and kind of sneak it back out, you know what I mean? And then say, Mr. Arnaldi's not here, and everybody would know. And what did that mean? That meant, you know what, I got to play the trombone that day, you know what I mean? And everybody would switch instruments, Flute players would, play the trumpets. The trumpeters would be on the drums, And that silly substitute teacher would go up and say, oh, yeah, I saw in the notes you guys are playing this song. Get it all out. And let's start. And they go. And then, man, what would happen when he'd come on the downbeat? Man, I'd just start blowing that. Right? Why? Because, because I'm not coached, amen? See, how in the world are they supposed to know about Jesus if we don't show them Jesus? If the people who know about Jesus don't show them Jesus, how in the world are they supposed to do it? Amen? Do you know what the Bible says? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and here's what it says. It says that they'll see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's how some of you got saved. That's how some of you caught in the family of God. You saw somebody, might have been a grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. That's how I came in the family of God. My mom and dad were great examples to me of the love of Jesus Christ. Or maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody from work. Maybe even somebody even met us like crazy pastor that walked in the love of God. And it helped you. Amen? Amen. But understand this. And you say, Pastor, what's your point? My point is, you got to let that happen. You can't resist it. I mean, you can resist it, but God says, no. Then you're just a hypocrite. Then you're coming to church, but you don't. You have this belief, but when it comes down to your life, you're not doing it. Again, that scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, as for me, to live is Christ. You can come on over my house and watch me. You can peek through my fence. You can peek over my fence. You can put a cop cam on me. And it ain't going to change anything. Because to me, to live is Christ. That's who I am. I'm sincere. I'm not perfect, but I'm sincere. That's what Paul said. So what do we need to do? abhor what is evil. Oh, man. I don't know how far we're going to get, but we're going to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do tonight. Amen. Somebody say, abhor evil. Abhor. Say, abhor evil. I don't even know what abhor means. Amen. Abhor means you hate it with this incredible passion of, oh, hate that. You know, I remember when the Holy Spirit started dealing with me in certain areas of my life, and the Holy Spirit said, you know what, Drew, you need to hate what I hate, and you need to love what I love. There was too much of familiarity. I remember one time there was a movie, a Christian movie, and it was about this professor, and he was teaching at a theological seminary in like the 1850 something or something, you know, way back then. And you know what? They were very disciplined as far as what was right and what was wrong. And if God said it was wrong, it was wrong, and they followed it. And he had an opportunity to, it was just a movie, but he had an opportunity to get into a time machine. And he got into a time machine, and he came up to 1970-something. Have you guys, how many seen this movie? No, it's not Back to the Future. Anyway, it's a great movie. And so he comes to 1973, and or 1970-something, and the first thing when he gets here is he finds a church. So he goes to the church, and everything's kind of different, you know what I mean, but pretty good. And so he finds out they're going, the young adults are going to go to a movie night. So the next night, so somebody invites him, and they kind of think, oh, it's kind of strange because he can talk strange, and you know what I mean. But still, he comes to the movie night, and they go to a movie, and in the movie, you know what, they start using the Lord's name in vain. They just, you know, cuss. It just, how many know in just a PG, I'm not talking PG-13, just a PG movie. How many know there's cussing in PG movies nowadays? How many know the standard has gotten lower and lower and lower? How many know this is true? What used to be an R now is PG-13. What used to be PG-13 is now PG. Why? Because the standards have changed. They say, oh, it's not that bad. And we're being too, you know what I mean? It's not that bad. So he goes to this movie, and they start cussing, and the guy right in the movie theater stands up and says, profanity! The name of God has been cursed! We must leave! You know, he's straight up. You know, it's like, ah! Yeah. Time changer. Go home and rent a good movie, amen? Wow. Amen. See, how many know we are so comfortable with all kinds of stuff nowadays that God's not comfortable with? You say, Pastor, you're being all prudy. I'm not being all prudy. Amen? I'm assuming I'm talking to Christians. Listen, if you're not in the family of God, you know what? Ask Jesus in your heart tonight. He'll come in. He'll change you from the inside out. But the Bible says, I'm just teaching you, how many like to learn the Bible? The Bible says to abhor what is evil. This kind of talk shouldn't be, you know what? You ever heard me say, hey, dude? You ever heard me say, hey, dude? You ever hear me say that? Hey, dude. Okay. Yeah, you know why I say, hey, dude? You know why I say, hey, dude? You know why I say, hey, dude? Because I hang out with Tony too much, amen? Not too much. See, here's what I'm saying. Why I never used to say that. But when I started hanging out with Tony, you know, how many know things rub off you? I like what Dr. Salico said to Tamara and I one time. He was Dr. Chanot's predecessor. Dr. Salico said this. He said, you know what? If the church would look more like Jesus Christ, a bunch more people would be attracted to the church. See, that's where this comes from. Saying, wait, no. Don't be so comfortable with all the junk. And I was teaching this morning at, you know what, at the Institute, at Teen Challenge Institute. And you know what? And one of the things I said is, I said, you know what? God wants us to be in a higher place that people can look at us and say, wow, that looks like Jesus. You know the apostles? You know what they said about the apostles? They recognized that they hadn't gone to the real good schools. They hadn't been educated at the highest training places, you know what, back then in Jerusalem. But you know what I like what they recognize? They recognize they had been with Jesus. I'm just thinking. Can we get real tonight? See, do people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Oh no, you judge that. But I would say this, that I believe that very possibly in the body of Christ, we're way too comfortable with sin. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. How many know correction is good? And he said, you know what, Drew, your problem is? Your problem is you're just way too comfortable with the world. And you've got to start to detach yourself, particularly from looking at that which is not appropriate. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, the eye is the gate to the whole body. And if the eye is good, the whole body will be good. Oh, praise the Lord. How many know this needs to be taught in our pornographic society that we live in? See, we think, for the most part, we don't understand a society. Pornography will mess up your brain. How many know God designed you? You know, how many know that, you know what, you can't put, how many know you can't put, you know, oh, I got a new Ford, you know what I mean? Ooh, well, it's my car, I can do what I want, you know, I'm going to put chocolate milk in the engine, you know what I mean? Why are you going to put chocolate milk? I just like chocolate milk, you know, I like chocolate milk, it tastes good, and I'm going to put chocolate milk in there, and you know what, because I like my Ford, and it probably going to like chocolate milk too. Cheaper than gasoline now, I'm going to put chocolate milk in there. You know what? We're going to be chocolatey right down the road. I mean, you ain't going to be nothing down the road. You're going to have to buy a new engine. That's what you're going to be. See, let me tell you what. And I know I'm particularly talking to men. Although, ladies, don't think the Bible says, you know what? Pride comes before a fall. You know that now there's a percentage of women that are watching pornography? So I don't even get that. I don't even understand it either, but I'm just telling you what the facts say. Amen? Yeah, sin is a, you know what, a doesn't care, you know what, black, white, red, green, orange with polka dots, don't care, big, tall, female, male, young, old. But pornography is ruining people, young men's minds. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because let me tell you what you were designed. You were designed to almost everyone, male and female, were designed to marry. Amen? And they were designed to marry. And when they have relations with their wife or husband, then that is these endorphins go off, boom. You know, you see the movies where the couples are kissing, you know what, used to be, and the fireworks would go off, boom, okay. That's kind of what happens, you know what, with intimacy with a husband and wife, boom. And what's happening is there's these endorphins that are going off in your brain. It's highly addictive. Anyone who's had a problem with lust understands the addictive nature of it. Highly addictive. And God intended for that addiction to, God intended, men, for you to be addicted to your wife. Amen. How many know God's got a good plan? You know what? And you see your wife, you're like, ooh, la la, baby. Amen. God, that's how God designed you. That's how God wanted for couples to just be, and that is happening, repetitiveness, and those endorphins are going off, and every time they go off, there's this addiction, more attachment, to say it that way, attachment to your wife, you know what? And that's what God wants. Versus this, I'm just teaching you. Somebody learning today? Versus this, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, this attraction, this to someone that you don't know, that doesn't belong to you, that isn't your wife, and you learn to have that attraction, those endorphins go off for this person and that person and this person and this person, and then when you get married, you're not connecting with your wife. She's just another person. And then the pornographic world has all this junk that, you know what? It's just to rip you off. And most pastors, you know what? They won't even, on Wednesday night, they was like, I can't say pornography. I can't say that. I can't say that. Well, you better say something, because there's a percentage of men. Listen, guys, I've got no condemnation. I don't know anything about your life. No, you're reading my mail. I don't even know your mail, amen? I don't even know your address. I don't know. Amen? Yeah, but Pastor, I know you walk in the prophetic. Can I tell you about that? I do walk in the prophetic. You know what? We should preach in the prophetic, amen? But I can tell you the truth. You know, I'll go into a subject like this many times. I never know who it is. I don't know who I'm talking to. All I will sense by the Spirit is that I need to talk about this. That's all I get from the Spirit. You know, the Bible says that a friend helps cover up somebody's sin. In Proverbs, it says that. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to expose you. The Holy Spirit wants to protect you, but the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. Amen? You know what? Listen, let me tell you what I assume. I assume what I said was just for nobody. Amen? Except to reassure you and to teach you to stay away from that. Do you understand? That's what I assume. I assume every man in our congregation, there's like, they're clean. Amen? But how many know, I recognize that might not be true. Well, I'm not your judge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm not the one judging you. But I am the one who, you know what, who's called to teach you. If you're called to, if this is your church, you know what, I'm called to teach you. And I better be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Pastor, you're not getting very far. Well, how many know to abhor evil is a good thing to spend a little time on? And how many know there's a lot more evil than just pornography? How many know one of the most evil things that is existing in the body of Christ is people's tongue? People's emotion. right? Or we can just get all over the page. Well, you know, let me tell you, I'll just say what I want to say. Well, you know, you ought to be slow to speak. You know what that is? That's evil. That's evil. When you curse someone, that's evil. How many know you can curse someone and never say the F word? Oh, no, Pastor, I never said the F word. I haven't said the F word in 8 weeks. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And praise God. If you haven't said, or 8 months, or whatever it is, 8 years. Oh, never. I never said. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. But do you talk about people? Because that's evil. You said, well, Pastor, you're saying I can say the F word? I'm not saying that. Don't say I didn't say that. Don't say the F word. Here, let me make this clear. Don't say the F word. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's a lot of evil that comes out of our mouth that isn't in any cuss words. And what we have to do is we have to not be hypocritical in our love. And the first thing that he says as far as being hypocritical is, you know what you got to do first? You got to start just absolutely having this passionate hate for evil instead of just being willing to hang out with it so much. You know what I mean? Amen. Amen. Can I get real spiritual with you? You know, you ever gone in a bathroom after somebody blew it up? Come on. Have you? It's like, you're like, you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, really bad, really bad. You ever, it's like, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. You're like, I don't got to go to the bathroom. Hello? You're like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom later. Amen. Hello, somebody. See, you know what? You abhor that smell. And I'm not just saying this to be funny because I know it's a little crude, but I'm going to get to a point, and the point's going to matter to you. You know what? We need to abhor evil. It needs to smell to us. You know that it's like, that's gross. You understand what I'm talking about? That's the only reason I use that kind of gross example. But I know it get in your head because you guys can think about, oh, yeah. That's how we ought to be around sin. You know, and all this junk that is going on, that it's like, oh, no, it's cool. You know what? All this junk. You know what? All this spiritual stuff that's going on. All this sexual stuff that's going on that's being taught to our kids. And we're like, oh, we don't want to say, we want to be skinny jeans because it's not cool to say that's wrong. How in the world? You know all the stuff that's going on, and now you got second graders who are confused. They don't even know what they are anymore. Well, why would they know that? Who's going to teach them that if parents don't teach them? Amen? And if this public schools say, well, you know, because how many know they're pushing that agenda? Amen. How many know we have to abhor evil? Selfishness, unforgiving. You know what? All this stuff. We need to go. It's like, I ain't going to the bathroom. I'll go later. It's got to be gross to us. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. You're too friendly with the world. You like it too much. And I started praying this. God, help me to hate what you hate and to love what you love. Help me to do that. How many know? God can work with somebody who acts like that. I don't know about you. I want to hate what God hates. I want to love what he loves. I want to hate what he hates. Because how many know that's someone who's not walking in hypocrisy? And you are what you are. And people might criticize you, but ultimately, guess what they're going to do? When they need help, they're going to run to you because you know what they're going to know? You know what's up. Amen. How am I glad you came today? How am I glad you came? Father, thank us. Thank you for your word. Help us. Help us, help us, help us to just hate evil like you hate evil. Father, thank you for every person that's here tonight. Thank you for their willingness to come and be taught. We thank you for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.